time for a virtual edition of Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Joining us from a socially distanced appropriate co-op deep in the heart of Berkeley is Professor Lori Fisher. And from a bunker somewhere deep in Pacifica, technical editor Kira Pace. And joining us between puffs of his pipe and his oak-paneled library and his Alameda villa, your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend in your home, wherever you are, shut in. But we also hope you can join us over the course of the hour because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're hoping for your participation out there. Not that there's a lot of competition for your participation, but want to make it sound, plausible.
That's so, the best kind of competition. Love.
Yeah, no competition is the best kind of competition, as Kate says.
I always do well. I do the best when there's no competition.
All right, there you go. Also, want to remind you of our two numbers, and that is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. My dog is barking. Or toll-free, yes, there is a toll-free number. That is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject imaginable, with the possible exception of sports and rock and roll, although sometimes they sneak questions in about that. Anyway, also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Actually, I have my iPad next to me. I don't usually have that next to me, but I do tonight. So if you really want to send me an email, you can do it, but I prefer you try to give us a call first. And that is mindsovermatter1, MindsOverMatter1, one, and that would be at gmail.com. So that is the numeral one, by the way. So let's see, I've given you the phone numbers, I've given you the email address. I should also remind you that you can listen to us online at klw.org. Feel free to do that. I'm sure KLW would appreciate it. And also, the podcast should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight, and that will also be at klw.org and many other places. Start with KLW, please. So we're going to dispense with a round of introductions tonight. So we will go right to Ms. Kira Pace, who will give us the first question.
All right. So since a lot more of our listeners are probably cooking right now than in previous episodes, I've got a cooking question, and it is this. According to Forbes, what are the five most expensive general spices in the world? Now, I'm not talking about one specific type of something. I'm talking generally, what are the five most expensive spices?
So this is cost as opposed to amount. In other words, the smallest amount costs the most.
Cost per pound.
Right. I would say saffron would be my first guess.
That's correct. Number one.
Very good.
How much is it? Do you have how much it is? It's shocking.
Depending on the quality of the saffron, anywhere from $1,600 to $5,000 per pound.
Whoa.
Yep.
How about vanilla?
That's number two, anywhere from $50 to $200 per pound.
And as we all know, number two is always much harder to get than number one. So there you go.
Do you have any more guesses?
How many do you have on the list again?
Total of five.
Okay. All right. Let's leave it out for people then. Just repeat the question if you would.
Sure. According to Forbes, what are the five most expensive general spices in the world?
And David, we're getting a little bit of an echo. So I just wanted to let you know that. So Lori, why don't you go ahead too?
All right. Despite your warning that there'd be no sports questions, it's hard to resist. this would have been the earliest opening day in the history of baseball, and it didn't happen. So I was thinking about that, and I have a couple of semi-baseball related questions. 1947, 73 years ago, was the first year that Jackie Robinson, African-American, was on a baseball team. Which was the last team to have an African-American baseball player? And if you get that, I want to know the year, and I'll give you extra credit if you know who the player was. But I'm most interested in which Major League Baseball team was the last one to have.
Was it Boston?
It was. Give yourself a bell. Yeah. Very good. The Boston Red
Sox. Was that Bump? What was his name? Not Bump. Pumpsy Green?
I am stunned. It was Pumpsy Green. Are you looking on the internet or anything?
No, not at all. I happen to know that because I think he just died last year.
I think he did.
Reasonably. So that's why I have to remember.
And I think he's local. I think he might have grown up in Oakland. How about the year then? If the first year was 47, what was the last year?
It wasn't like 61 or something, was it? Was it that late?
It was 1959. It was that late.
59.
Yeah, very good. I'm very impressed. So I have two easier opening day questions if you want them, since you ran the board on those.
All right.
Okay. One is, and this one might have come up before, but I like it. Who was the first president to throw out an opening day pitch? And which president was ambidextrous and threw out two balls, one left-handed and one right-handed?
But not at the same time.
No, one after another, fired him out. So who was the first one, and who was the ambidextrous one? Opening day and two different.
Well, the first one, to my knowledge, was William Howard Taft.
That's it. Very good. What year? Right. Remember the year?
Oh, 1912.
Close. 1910.
Something like that.
Yeah.
1910. All right.
By the way, look at how Dana's doing on these sports questions. Audience, this is like shocking in every way. All right, last one is the ambidextrous one. You want to guess or leave it out?
Leave it out.
Okay. Here,
I was just going to guess Ford. He was very sporty.
He is very sporty. He was an All-American football player, as a matter of fact.
At UMich.
Yeah, but not he was not ambidextrous, as far as I know.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Very nice.
So, David, do we have a call on the line? All right, hold on. So we'll take a call here. Just to remind you of the two numbers, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, let's go, David. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Pumpsy Green lived in El Cerrito.
Oh, excellent.
That's nice. Okay, so he does have a local connection. You. Very good.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oh, not ready yet? I'm sorry. All right. Let me know when you're ready. All right. Well, I'll do a question in the meantime. Oh, okay. Go ahead with the question or go ahead with call.
Oh, is that me?
It is you. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. It's Joseph from Virginia. It was like 10 seconds.
Sorry about that.
Well, don't be sorry. I'm happy. Let's see. I've got a question about a bit of a scientific formula, but I would ask that you not use the formula if you know it. But I have a feeling, Dana, you know it. What temperatures? Let me see how I can say this right. On the Fahrenheit and Celsius scale. Where are they the exact same?
Negative 40.
Oh, my gosh. Miss Kira got it. Well, y'all are all smart. Let me see. There was another one I had. Who were the top? Let me see. One, two, three. Who are the top three? I can't think of the fourth. People who tried out for Scarlett O'Hara in the screen test.
Paulette Goddard was one.
Yep.
Go ahead, Dana or Kira.
No, I didn't know. I think you even had this question at some point, Lori. Like you.
No, I've never had this exact one. Not I, anyway.
Mine was who called in on a radio show to nominate people to be.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
That's where it came from. So that's why I'm going to refuse myself from the rest.
There are three. I can only remember three, but I think there were four. And actually, the last one was the one who got it, as you can remember.
Oh. So wait a minute now. Was your question answered? Or
No.
Launch two more people who were the candidates.
Yeah.
Oh. I do not know.
Oh, well, I think Betty Davis was one of them.
She was one. Yes. Okay. That was the one I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't pretty enough.
I have no comment.
well, in the day.
Yeah.
All About Eve redeemed her. So.
I know that Jean Arthur was considered for it, but I don't know if she
I don't remember seeing that on the list. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the first part of this. So this was for Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't introduce it.
Paulette Goddard was the, unless it was, this was Sarah Reddy.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah.
Some people you would never think of. She was a beauty in her day.
And Margaret Sullivan, I think, was thought of, too.
Say that again?
Margaret Sullivan.
I don't remember that on this list, anyway. Any other guesses?
No, I know everybody tried out for it. So Joan Crawford, Margaret Sullivan, Susan Hayward.
They were not the very top ones. And actually, when you didn't mention the one who got it, but I know you know it.
Tuluba Band, I don't know. There were a lot of people.
No, the person who got the role. I know.
Dana Lee got the role.
Yeah, of course. She got it. But she got it after. Who was the lady? That's the one I can't remember. Who was in the afternoon Dracula soap opera? Elizabeth Bennet.
Elizabeth Bennet
actually got the role, and she had to. She was bought out because they didn't know what the film would do. And Vivian got it while they were burning the sets for Atlanta. But there was another star you would not, maybe not think of.
Don't know. Why don't you tell us?
Okay. Any guess? Did someone say O?
No.
Well, anyway, it was probably in the day she was a beauty and she was not a redhead, Lucille Ball.
Oh.
Heard that.
She would have been terrible.
Well, she was a beauty we're talking 1938.
Not like that Betty Davis.
Well, not like that ugly Betty. But no, Betty aged gracefully, I must say. She did.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Y'all are so smart. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our participants tonight, that would be technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. We are all coming in courtesy of Zoom and KLW to do the show tonight. So if we have two numbers to join us, if we have any lines open right now, please give us a call. I think we do, actually. So it's 415-841-4134. Again, give us a call, 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. You call us, we'll get you on as soon as possible. If you have a question or answer. And let me give you a couple questions here. You may remember last week I asked about what nation of Europe depends the most on tourist dollars for their gross domestic product, and that was Greece. So today I'm going to ask you what island nation depends more on tourist dollars than any other country in the world. What island nation depends more on tourist dollars than any other country in the world? So I'll give you each a guess here. Kira?
Hmm.
So this would be as a percentage of its GNP.
What about the Maldives? Yes. Maldives.
That's exactly right.
Yay!
Very good. Yes, the Maldives is the nation that depends more on tourist dollars than any other country. Okay. Well, you killed that. So let me give you another question. Who was the first actor, the first American actor to have two Broadway theaters named after them? Who was the first American actor to have two Broadway theaters named after them?
And they both had the same name, right? The person didn't have an alias. They had like two Ethel Barrymore theaters.
No. Right. No. Same name.
Yeah.
So who was the first American actor to have two Broadway theaters named after them?
But David Garrick.
No, he was British.
Oh, right. That's right.
All right. While you're thinking about that, I'll give you one more question. I have a Sherlock Holmes question. I don't know if Laurie or Kira are big Sherlock Holmes fans, but I know there are, some of our listeners are.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you four characters from the Sherlock Holmes stories, and I want you to tell me in what story they appear. Now, these are all major characters, so they're not somebody very, very minor. So these are four characters from Sherlock Holmes, the different Sherlock Holmes stories. I want you to tell me what story they appear in, okay? All right, number one is Mary Morstan. That's Morstan, Mary Morstan. Number two is Cecil Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R, Cecil Barker. Number three is Dr. James Mortimer, M-O-R-T-I-M-E-R, Dr. James Mortimer. Number four is Jabez Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N. So again, these are four characters from Sherlock Holmes stories. I want you to tell me the story, that the four different stories in which they appear, or the four different stories in which each one appears. Number one, Mary Morstan. Number two, Cecil Barker. Number three, Dr. James Mortimer. Number four, Jabez Wilson. All right.
So I'll take a guess. I don't know any of them. I don't know whether Doyle used any puns, but is Cecil Barker?
I was going to do that too.
Hound of the Baskervilles?
Yes.
No.
That was my guess too. So I'm out.
Such a dumb guess, but I like it. That was my best shots. Kara, where'd you go?
Nope.
Well, then I'll leave. Go. Nothing? Nope. All right. I'll leave that out for somebody who enjoys the Sherlock Holmes stories.
Yeah.
And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Come to you through the courtesy of Zoom and KLW tonight. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. And of course, it's KLW. And let's go to a call. If one exists.
Hi,
you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David in North Oakland. So, as you might well expect, there are multiple Jackie Robinson public high schools all across the U.S., as seems appropriate. But staying with sports, because you don't like it, and I generally don't either, does anyone have a guess as to a specific high school not only named for a pitcher, but on land donated by said pitcher to the County Board of Ed?
Is it in Texas?
No, it's in Maryland.
Well, Maryland. So did this person pitch for Baltimore?
No.
Is the person right from Maryland? Is that why the donation?
I don't honestly know. I don't remember where he was born, but he owned a farm in Maryland, and it was donated to the county, and there was the high school.
You know who grew up, I think, in Baltimore? Didn't Babe Ruth grow up in Baltimore?
His orphanage.
Not the guy.
All right.
So, and it's a picture you said about what year did the high school open? Give us a hint there.
Oh, the high school opened in the 50s.
Oh.
All right. Gosh, I have no idea.
How about Walter Johnson?
Bingo.
There you go. How's that?
Oh, very good.
Yeah, he played for the Washington Senators, and that would have been the closest team to them. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's great.
Right, because Baltimore didn't have a team back then.
Yeah, not for a while. All right.
Nope.
Did I get a bell on that thing?
You did. You got your bell.
You did. All right, then. Bye.
Thank you. All right. And Kira, I believe it's your turn.
All right. So a couple months back, Lori asked about some words that were featured in one and only one Beatles song. I'm going to do a similar thing, except to honor Terry Jones, who recently passed. These are going to be words that are found in one and only one song by Monty Python. And I have 8 words for you to write down, and they are Rachmaninoff. Rachmaninoff, gristle.
Gristle? Like?
Mm-hmm, gristle, like meat. Uh-huh, meat and gristle. Yep, the next one is Presbyterian. Then Catholic. Gonorrhea. Semi-carnally, as in semi-carnally.
Semi, huh?
Semi. Mm-hmm. Suspenders. And finally, revolving. So the list again is Rachmaninoff, gristle, Presbyterian, Catholic, gonorrhea, semi-carnally, suspenders, and revolving. And again, these are words that are found in one and only one song by Monty Python. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So, Dana, do you have one?
I expect that each of you probably does. No?
I don't have anything definite, but is one of them, is one of the songs you're looking at the spam song?
No, it's not. In part because most of the words in that are spam.
Yeah. It's one of the songs, I'm a Lumberjack?
Yes, but which one?
Well, I'm going to go with Suspenders.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct. That's a bell. Suspenders is from the Lumberjack song. Do you have any others?
I was going to try to remember the line it was in, but I'll wait on that.
Wow. I cut down trees. I wear high heels, suspenders, and a bra.
Yes.
So are the Catholic and Presbyterian from a song in the Life of Brian?
One of them is and one of them isn't.
So the one that they sing, one where that he sings when he's on the cross or on the crucified?
There is, that's neither Presbyterian nor Catholic.
All right. Okay.
But there is one from that song. That's correct. That's also Spamalot. They moved it over for Spamalot. Also like the number one or number two funeral song in the UK. So, you know, there you go.
Right. Okay. Well, let's leave that out then and just give it again once quickly.
Sure. I've given you a word that is found in one and only one song by Monty Python. I just want the title of the song, and the words we have left are Rachmaninoff, gristle, Presbyterian, Catholic, gonorrhea, semi-carnally, and revolving.
All right. And
go ahead.
No, David, if we have a call on the line, we go to a call. Yes? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, this is Megan in San Francisco.
Hi, Megan.
I've got a question for you guys tonight. I have 5 groups of people, constituents, and I want to know who are the patron saints.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so
Go ahead. Yeah.
Cobblers. Who is the patron saint of cobblers?
Now, just before you go up the list, are these people who are these well-known saints, or are they also saints of many different things, or is it just specific to this one area?
You know, I don't know, to be honest, if they cover. I don't know how many populations each saint is allowed, so I can't comment on whether they have any other constituent groups.
Okay. And do you feel like there's a certain logic to the answers to these? Like, you know, they were crucified
I don't think there's that sort of in-depth logic, but I'm not a biblical scholar, so there's probably some underlying association that I'm totally missing.
All right. I didn't mean to stop your list. I just wanted to clarify that. Go ahead.
Great, good question, Russian. Okay, first one, cobblers.
Right. Oh, just give us the list, and then we'll try to deal with it.
Okay, cobblers, beekeepers, grave diggers, tax collectors, and this one for you guys, broadcasters.
It's a patron saint of broadcasters. Wow. So, Dana, this should be your wheel.
No, it's I'm not Catholic, so it doesn't help me there. Grave diggers. I want to see if I can get something like that. Yeah.
So what was after grave diggers?
Tax collectors.
Tax collectors.
And broadcasters. There's a lot of them.
Right. Broadcasters. Is one of them Saint Francis by any chance? Like the bee?
Not, no,
the beekeepers?
Nope.
Grave diggers.
Are any of them women?
No.
I'm not doing very well with this.
Is broadcasters Phil Rizzuto? Probably not.
What about St. Andrew for cobblers?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, since we're not doing very well with this, well, we can give you an option of leaving it out if people want to call in and guess, or you can tell us. It's up to you.
We can leave it out there. I think if people want to call in or whatever you guys prefer.
All right. Sure. We're going to put you on hold, and then David will take the information from you. I appreciate the question. We're just not very good at it.
So, okay.
You. Hold on. In the meantime, Laurie, I think it's your turn.
Yeah. I'm hearing that. I got an email from two friends who said, I didn't answer this. I thought I did. I gave the acronym of Henry, and the answer was high earner, not rich yet. So I don't know if that came up, but I thought that was clever. But my question is related. Last week I asked which state had the youngest population. This week I want to know, of the United States, which are the five that have the highest percentage of senior citizens? That would be people over 60. And before you guess Arizona's 10th. That's what I thought was going to be first. So I'm looking for the five states that have the highest percentage, all above 16.5% of people who are over the age of 60. I'll give you like 1.5 each.
So this is per capita or not per capita? Yeah.
It's just straight percentage. So the equivalent of per capita, okay. So not number.
All right.
Don't go with Florida.
That's it.
Right.
That's number one, kind of by far. That was the low-hanging orange, so to speak.
How about Hawaii?
No, Hawaii's eighth, but doesn't make the top five.
And let's see, what would be, South Carolina.
Say it again, or, South Carolina?
South Carolina or, yeah, what else?
South Carolina.
Someplace in the South.
Yeah, South Carolina's.
Well, what's that?
South Carolina's 14th, so also doesn't make the list.
All right. Okay. And you said Arizona is number 10.
Yeah, that's the problem. So,
what would be? All right, I have to think about that.
Anyway, so the question is: the top five states that have the highest percentage of senior citizens. Florida is first. I'm looking for the next four.
All right.
Good.
And let's go to a call if one is available. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California. Let me turn my radio
down. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
All right, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, yeah, senior citizens is, how about Maine?
Maine is number two. Nice work.
Oh, very good.
Thanks. I know they have, I remember I learned on your show, they have the highest median age, I think, something like that.
Oh, I learned stuff on our show. Wow.
Yeah, a while back. I'll guess, how about Wyoming?
Wyoming is not. I'm looking for Wyoming. It's not in the top whatever.
Utah?
Say it again.
Utah?
Utah is 49th on the list. Utah has a young population.
Oh, right. Way off. Great. Okay. For the best actor, U.S. actor for the Broadway theaters, Gabby Hayes. How about like a... Edwin Booth.
Edwin Booth is correct.
Oh, really?
Very good. Yes.
Wow. Okay. The ambidextrous president throwing out the first pitch. I know Truman was ambidextrous. Was it him?
It was Harry Truman. Very nice.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. 1950, and he threw out one lefty and one righty. I love that. Good work.
And then some of the spice guesses. How about nutmeg?
Nope, nutmeg.
Cardamom?
Is number three, $30 a pound.
Oh,
very cool.
If it's not nutmeg, then I guess probably not mace either.
No, not mace either.
Cinnamon?
Is number five, $6 a pound.
Yay.
Wow.
Nice job.
And then some of the Monty Python songs. I know the semi-carnally is Eric the half a bee.
That's correct. He's half a bee. So, bell for that?
Yeah. Catholic, would be, from meaning of life, would be every sperm is sacred.
Sure is. That is correct.
What was the
Catholic,
name?
Catholic is from... Sorry, Catholic is from every sperm is sacred in the meaning of life.
Yeah, they have Michael Palin. And Gristle is on Bright Side of Life.
That's the one. Yep.
And then I'll ask, I think Lori had the question last week, which made me think of this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger has, is only two times in his career has he played a real person. Believe it or not, one was in a voiceover for a PBS show. Can you guess which two times? And one, the other one was a TV movie.
Huh.
Wait, what? You're saying he didn't play a real... I must have missed the beginning of this, because Arnold Schwarzenegger's played a real person in, like, Kindergarten Cop. Oh, you mean, no, like, a real... someone from real
like
life.
Actual,
as opposed to a machine living, is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And were these comedic roles?
No.
And did the people he was playing, were they German or Austrian? Did they have an accent in real life?
Yes.
How about
Einstein? All right, so let's see. A
and
real
again,
person.
Neither was in a movie. One was on a TV movie, and one was a PBS show.
And was his presence ironic? Like it was?
No.
Okay.
Was the PBS show a children's show?
No, it was a documentary.
So the documentary was about another person, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was just, or about another subject or person, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was just playing a role? Is that?
Yeah, he was playing the voice of a historical figure. Kind of like, like they do in Ken Burns documentaries.
Right.
Was it Kaiser Wilhelm?
No.
was it Einstein?
No, earlier than that. He's a semi-obscure figure who I didn't really know of, but the documentary was about a U.S. president.
All right. What president was it about?
Lincoln.
And so Arnold Schwarzenegger played a real character in the time of Lincoln. How about Carl Schurz?
No.
Was this person of Austrian or German descent?
Yes.
Okay. And were they an American citizen?
Yes, they became an American citizen, yeah.
Became an American citizen.
And again, I don't know the name, so if you... I wouldn't have known the name. I kind of doubt that you would have, but...
All right. Well, the only one I can think of is Carl Schurz, but you said it wasn't that. Okay, well, I don't think we know.
Yeah, it was a guy named John George Nicolay who was the private secretary to Lincoln.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And had been since 1861 until he died. And then the TV movie one was mentioned last week. Well, the character who is the father of somebody who's...
The ACLU, father of the ACLU guy?
No, not Orson Bean, no.
No.
Law and Order? He played Mickey Hartigay, the husband of Jane Mansfield.
Oh, that's right.
That would make sense.
The Jane Mansfield story. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Who played Jane Mansfield?
Yeah, who was played by Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, Lonnie Anderson.
Nice. Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Right. It's great casting. Another body.
All right, great show as always. Thanks for persevering.
Thank you.
You're the best. Bye.
So am I the only one here that's getting a little echo?
Nope. I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're all getting it, David, just to let you know. And all right. Laura, you just did your question, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I will go ahead. All right. But before we do that, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet and that are still out there. So Kira, we'll start with you.
Okay. So according to Forbes, what are the five most expensive general spices in the world? We have four out of five. We have saffron, vanilla, cardamom, and cinnamon. Looking for one more. Also, I gave some words that are found in one and only one song in Monty Python. I'm just looking for the title of the song for these words. And the words we have left are Rachmaninoff, Presbyterian, gonorrhea, and revolving.
All right.
And I'm looking. And? I asked for the five states that have the highest percentage population of senior citizens, people 60 years or over. And we have Florida, the Kira got, and Maine that a caller got. So I'm looking for the next three highest. That's all I have.
Okay. And all I have left is I gave you four characters from different Sherlock Holmes stories. They're all major characters in those stories. I want you to tell me what the story is, the various stories. So number one is Mary Morstan. Number two is Cecil Barker. Number three is Dr. James Mortimer, and number four is Jabez Wilson.
And from a caller, we have asking the patron saints of cobblers, patron saints of beekeepers, patron saints of gravediggers, tax collectors, and I can't read what I'm saying.
Okay. Broadcasters.
Broadcasters, there you go.
Yep, that's it.
Right. Dana, I have a guess. Is Dr. James Mortimer in Study in Scarlet?
It is not.
Okay.
I will say he was played by Lionel Atwill in the movie version of it, though, of that story. Anyway, let me also give you the two numbers. That's area code 415-841-4134. Again, to call us with a question or with an answer, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. I'm sorry? What'd you say, David? Oh, okay. All right. All right. Time for me to give you a question. I have a list of five film biographies. So the titles of the films do not give the name of the person who the film is about. So I want you to tell me who that person is. So I will give you five film biographies. I want you to tell me what famous person is the subject of the film. So number one is The Plainsman. Number two is Frontier Marshal. Number three is Devotion, one word. Number four is 60 Glorious Years. I think you're talking about Laurie there. And number five is The Iron Duke. So these are film biographies. I want you to tell me who the subject is. Number one is The Plainsman. Number two is Frontier Marshal. Number three is Devotion. Number four is 60 Glorious Years. And number five is The Iron Duke. And I'll give you each one guess.
Kira?
I got nothing.
Kira's shaking her head. So, Lori, you go.
I wanted to do better on this. I don't have any for sure. I'm just going to guess that the Frontier Marshal's Wyatt Earp.
That is correct. Wyatt Earp. Played by Randolph Scott, by the way.
Oh.
So again, all right, the ones we have left, these are film biographies. Who is the subject? The ones we have left are The Plainsman, Devotion, 60 Glorious Years, and The Iron Duke. Who are the subject of those film biographies? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. I wanted to just ask this question. It's related to a previous caller, too, just because I was hopeful that you would call him out on sort of extreme sexism of talking about Betty Davis when she was attractive and all the women who, back in the day, at their height of attractiveness, he really only describes female actors in terms of their attractiveness and not their acting ability. So what is the career peak for a man in acting versus the career peak for a woman in acting?
Well, I know it's particularly unfair, but... Yes, I'm sure a man and a woman, there's probably about a 20-year difference in between them.
So what do you think the average age is for a man?
I would say maybe mid-40s, and for a woman, perhaps, mid to late 20s. Is that anywhere close?
It's close for the man. You're still a little bit off, thankfully, slightly higher for women than their mid-20s.
So I was I was going to say 30 and 60, but it sounds like I might be off.
Off background.
Sorry. So,
no.
So it's 46 for men and 30 for women. But I think as we are callers in, we would love to hear if you'd actually contest someone on your show as a gesture of allyship. Instead of letting them persistently talk about women only in their attractiveness when acting is not just about attraction.
Well, you're perfectly valid point, so I'm sorry. We will try to be better about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran. Am I on the phone?
Go ahead.
I can't. All I'm hearing is what sounds like outer space from the radio. So I'm not. Can I ask a rock and roll question?
Yes.
Well, yes.
It's up to Dana.
That's okay. Go ahead, friend.
Okay. Can you name the five Beach Boys, not including Daryl Dragon, the five originals?
I can, I think.
Mike, yeah. It's Mike Love.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson.
Yes.
Dennis Wilson.
Thank you, Dennis Wilson.
Yes, that's three.
Then Carl Wilson and
yes,
Al Jardine.
That's four.
Al Jardine would be the
you
last.
You got him.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I asked the question. I prepared for this during the week when I didn't have that much to do. Now, here's another question. Who played Mr. Conklin on the Eve Arden show?
That was Gail Gordon.
Yes. Give yourself a bell.
You mean Armis Brooks? Is what
Armis. Wait a minute. Yeah, Armis Brooks, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. But it was Miss Gail Gordon played Mr. Conklin, right? I don't know what I said.
Right.
And what was Eve Arden's original name?
Eunice Quidens.
Yes. I'm so glad if trivia sort of takes the mind off of what's going on now. Thank you.
And she's actually from Mill Valley, by the way. That's where she was born. So, yeah. Local girl. Thank you very much. And let's go to the next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Chris from New York.
Hi, Chris.
Hey there. I have one guess, actually, and it's for Kira's question about the songs in, I'm sorry, the words in Monty Python songs.
Yes.
Is Rachmaninoff the decomposing composers?
It sure is.
All right, great.
Good job.
And I do have one guess for the patron saints also. Is St. Francis de Sales the patron saint of broadcasters?
Oh. David has the master list. No. No.
No. Sorry. Okay. That's okay. I do have one question also. You know, it's kind of appropriate that, Kira, one of the words you put out there was Catholic, and then you have the person calling up about patron saints. My question is also Catholic-related, although it's not as religious, per se. You know, there are more than 150 U.S. Dioceses. Dioceses in the U.S., and each one of them has a city name. So my question is, there is one city name that occurs three times in, you know, in three different dioceses, and then five city names that occur twice. Can you come up with any of them?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Of course, yes. Of the Catholic dioceses in the U.S., you know, they're all named for different cities around the country. And
you mean the cities in which they are located, their name for those particular cities?
Right. In other words, like, you know, like in the Bay Area, the Archdiocese of San Francisco, the Diocese of Oakland, okay. there are three city names that are used, you know, there for three... you know, for three different dioceses. I'm sorry, one city name that occurs three times, and then there are five other names that occur twice. So the question is, could you name any of them?
Is Los Angeles one by any chance?
No.
What about Portland?
Yes, very good, very good. And do you know what states they're in?
Presumably Maine and Oregon?
Yes, very good.
Okay. How about Kansas City?
Yes, very good, yes. That's another one.
Good. So, let's see.
How about Augusta? Augusta?
No, not Augusta.
Okay. Springfield.
Yes.
Oh, that. And there you go.
That's the three. Well, and I'm guessing you could probably name the three states.
Well, Springfield, Illinois. God, there are a lot of Springfields in the United States, you know.
Yeah.
Missouri? Is Missouri one?
Could be.
Yes.
And what's the third one? I don't know. What is that?
Pennsylvania?
A little further north. You're in the right part of the country.
Oh.
Oh, very good, David. Yeah, Massachusetts, right?
Yes, correct, yes.
All right, good.
So there's three more cities that occur twice. I could give you some hints on locations if it helps at all.
Is Salem one by any chance?
Let me just double check. That's a good one. I didn't see that one come up. That doesn't even come up once.
All right. What's Salem? Kira, any ideas on this?
No, I'm going through the states right now. Sorry. No, I would take a hint.
Oh, sure. Okay, great. Well, I can give you hints like on the pairs. In other words, like the two areas where they're located. In one case, the city name comes up in both the Midwest and the Southwest.
Midwest,
you know,
and the South. Right.
Yeah. If you want, actually, I could give you the states because I don't think it would be too much of a hint if I give you the states.
All right, go ahead.
One of them occurs in both Louisiana and Indiana.
Louisiana and Indiana. Valparaiso, no.
Terre Haute.
No.
What about New Orleans? There could be a New Orleans in Indiana.
No.
Okay. You better fill in the blanks. We're not doing very well here.
No problem. The remaining three are Lafayette is Louisiana and Indiana. Rochester is New York and Minnesota, and Charleston is South Carolina and West Virginia.
Good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And, thanks for doing the show and under these circumstances.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. You too.
Sure.
Be careful out there.
Thank you.
And let's see, who has a reasonably concise question?
I do.
Here? All right, go ahead.
Okay, who was the first female comedian to perform at the Apollo Theater?
The first
female comedian to perform at the Apollo Theater?
How about Moms Mabley?
Is the correct answer.
There we go.
Good job.
I have a short one.
And Lori, very short question.
Yeah, this is short. When Google reorganized and called itself Alphabet, it valued itself at $5.09 billion. How come they picked that number? It wasn't out of thin air, and it had something to do with, it wasn't the valuation. They wanted to do something clever with the valuation of its stock. And 5.09 has significance to the name of the company.
5.09. I don't know. I do not know.
Sure.
Does it have anything to do with alphabet code?
Not alphabet code.
Or like phone key codes?
No phone key codes. It's something. Okay. It's something more in more common knowledge about alphabet, about the alphabet.
All right. All right. Let's leave that out and go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Burn Light.
Hi.
Was Mary Morriston the solitary cyclist?
The solitary cyclist? No, you mean the name of the story? No, not the solitary cyclist.
All right. I believe Jabez Wilson was a member of the Redhead League.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
Member of the Redhead League. Very good. Glad you got that.
Is Paul the saint of the tax collectors?
David, is St. Paul the patron saint of tax collectors? No. All right.
All right. And let's see, the Iron Duke would be about Arthur Wellesley, the Duke of Wellington.
That is correct. Very good.
And excellent. I have a question.
Yes.
What were the circumstances behind the most famous tea party that took place in Annapolis, Maryland?
Most famous tea party that took place in Annapolis, Maryland. Well, this has no relation to the Boston Tea Party, I'm assuming. So,
No, you assume incorrectly.
Oh, I would. Okay.
You got it. It's the same deal, just less famous than the Boston one.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, there were about three or four in other cities besides Boston. But Boston gets all the glory. That's it for me.
Thank you very much.
Guys.
All right. Take it easy. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have a couple of guesses.
Okay.
So first for the spices, most expensive, I don't know if it's been guessed already, but I was thinking vanilla or cloves.
Well, vanilla was guessed, and it was number two, but the one we were missing was cloves, so you get a bell for that. Nicely
Woo-hoo!
Done.
And then I have another guess around Monty Python.
Okay.
So revolving, the word revolving, is that in the Galaxy song?
It sure is. Thank you for Woo-hoo! Getting that.
And was Good. Gristle already guessed?
Gristle was, but if you know it, you can give it.
Life of Brian, always look on the bright side of life?
That is correct.
Thank you so much, and thank you for keeping the show up.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Joseph again.
I have another, had my Catholic school upbringing. I had not heard the question about the patron saints until I remembered that my grandfather was a beekeeper, and he said, this adds to ambrosia. Is it St. Ambrose for bees?
Wow. St. Ambrose, very good.
Was there another saint connected to that too? Didn't Kira put that forth?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, that was one of our callers.
I'm sorry?
That was one of our callers who put that question forward.
Okay. Well, Saint, I just remember my grandfather who raised bees said, this adds to the ambrosia. It's added to the fruit salad called ambrosia. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Call back. Love y'all.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a guess for the Monty Python, and I also have an interesting fact about one of the words in the Monty Python guesses. So my guess is does gonorrhea come from the medical love song?
It is from the medical love song. Yes, you are correct. I think I heard you say medical love song for gonorrhea, and that is correct. Spell for that.
So the other thing is the word braces that you said for the lumberjack song suspenders in England are not what we call suspenders in America. In England, suspenders are garters that women wear, and suspenders are called braces. So I think that just adds an extra layer of something to the song, and I wanted to let you guys know.
All right. Thank you very much. And let's see. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. I'll be very quick.
Are you there?
Okay, this thing, red giant, blue giant, or white dwarf? What are they?
Types of stars.
Okay, very quickly. Besides the virus we have to deal with right now, there is this big, huge red giant, only very short distance from us, 500 or 600 light years away from us, and he's about to blow up and to go into supernova, and it may cause gamma ray bursts, which could affect life on Earth. Do you know the name of it? Very famous star.
Yeah, is that one Betelgeuse on Orion's shoulder?
It is Betelgeuse. It is acting very strange, and it may blow up any time, and if it does, good chance, which it definitely would make a gamma ray burst, but how strong it would be, it really could affect life on Earth. So not only have to worry about the virus, we have to worry about that as well. Thank you. Always a good show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reid.
Thank you.
Always a cheerful story. And all right, time to clean up here. What do we have? Kira, you go first.
I have one thing, and the word Presbyterian shows up in the song Oliver Cromwell. That's it.
I have when Google became Alphabet, they picked $5.09 billion because there's 26 letters in the alphabet, and that is the square root of 26, 5.09. I like that very much. And in the top five states that have the highest population of senior citizens, Florida and Maine, we missed West Virginia, Vermont, and number five is Pennsylvania. That's it for me.
All right. And I have more answers to give because people cared less about my questions. So Sherlock Holmes, the character is Mary Stan. That is the woman who ended up marrying Dr. Watson. She appeared in line four. Cecil Barker, Dr. James Mortimer is one of the people in The Hound of the Baskervilles. The film biographies, The Plainsman, that's Wild Bill Hickok, played by Gary Cooper. Devotion, that would be about the Bronte.
Nope.
All right. And that is it. So if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I'm sorry if you had experienced the echo that we experienced or any sort of sound problems. We'll try to correct that for next week. Please stick with us. And my thanks to our panel tonight. That would be the case. technical editor Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to David Latuli for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you, captives that you all are, for sticking with us over the course of the hour. We hope you join us again next Sunday. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
And thank you for tuning in to this brave new world of Minds Over Matter. A couple other answers. This patron saint of cobblers is St. Christian of Gravediggers, St. Anthony of Tax Collectors, St. Matthew. This has been Minds Over Matter here on Local Public Radio, KLW.
You ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's got to be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's black.